Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. How often do you stop and think about what life would be like if there was no family? Family is something that people can take for granted. In our modern times, the family institution has been attacked and almost destroyed. And yet, where would we be without family? What would life be like if everyone was just by themselves? Family didn't just appear out of nowhere. It was created. It was an idea that didn't exist until the idea was created. And of course, God is the one that created family. Notice John 1 and verse 1. We'll look at a few passages today, mostly in John. And if you have a Bible handy, it'd be great to get those out. And we can look at these passages together and see what God reveals here. Some really amazing history. In John 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so this verse takes us way back before the universe, before the angels were created. There were two beings. Notice this quote here from the editor of Lesson 26 in the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, a free course that we encourage you to sign up for. If you haven't, you can for free at thetrumpet.com. It says, there are two beings discussed here in John 1 and verse 1. God and the Word. As Herbert W. Armstrong made plain in his masterful book, Mystery of the Ages, which, by the way, you can get that for free at thetrumpet.com as well. It says, these two made one God, like one family. They were both God in the same sense that two members of the same family could both be Smith. And so you know how that is. If you've got a family, they have a last name. And so there's multiple members of the family, but they have a same last name. Different first names, same last name. So we can understand that. And that's what this is discussing here. It says this one verse tells the story of a past eternity. So, you know, it's easy to read over a verse and move on to the next one. But you just stop and think for a minute here. This verse tells the story of a past eternity. Two beings. Not all the people you see today. Not even the angelic realm. Not the physical universe. Two beings. We don't know everything about that time period, but we get some insight here from John 1 and verse 1. And so it's very important to go back this far to really understand what God's plan for you is. Mr. Armstrong often talked about understanding God's plan and related it to watching a movie. You know, if you come into a movie partway through and you don't know who the characters are and you don't know what the plot is, you have no idea what's happening. You have to see the whole movie from the beginning to get the story. Well, this verse, John 1 and verse 1, is taking us all the way to the beginning, taking us back so we can understand why we're here today and we can understand why family exists. God did create angels before mankind, but there ended up being a big problem with the angelic creation, at least with some of them. And notice this quote again from the correspondence course. It says, Lucifer, whose name literally means light bringer, brought light, but then something tragic happened. He lost this light. God and the Word had lived together for all eternity in unity and in love. After the angels were created, Lucifer and one-third of the angels rebelled. And for the first time ever in the universe, there was rebellion, disunity, and a lack of love. God and the Word had unity, harmony, love, cooperation. That's the way they always lived, and that's the way they live now. And then here comes rebellion. And because of that, for the first time, there was disunity and a lack of love. Now, unfortunately, many people can relate to what happened because many have suffered the same problems in their lives. Many families have fallen into disunity and a lack of love, and that causes a lot of heartache and a lot of misery. And it's always a result of rebellion against God's law. Obeying God's law causes peace and it causes unity. Rebelling against that law causes all of the problems of disunity and the fighting and the divisions that far too often occur in this world and in families. And that's not what God intended, and that's not what He created. But that is what occurred. Notice a passage in Ezekiel 28. We'll come back to John here if you want to hold your place, but Ezekiel 28 gives us some insight into what happened with Lucifer and how he became Satan. Ezekiel 28, we'll look at verses 15 through part of 17. And it says, "You were perfect in your ways," talking about Lucifer, "you were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you." Iniquity means lawlessness, a rebellion. He rebelled against God's law and government. In the simplest terms, he turned from the way of give to the way of get. Instead of wanting to help and give, he wanted to take for himself. And in so doing, he became lawless. Verse 16, "By the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence." He became violent. Christ said he is a liar and a murderer. "And you have sinned, and therefore I will cast you as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." And verse 17, "Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness." So Lucifer was created perfect, although character development is something that can only be created with the choice of the being. In this case, Lucifer, he had to choose to obey God, and he could have developed character there, but he destroyed it. He destroyed that character because of his sins. He was created perfectly as far as God could create him, but then he made the wrong choice. He got into vanity, and he reasoned in his mind that it would be better to compete and try to take. And of course, that ended in violence and in destruction. And we see those fruits on this earth today. Lots of violence, lots of destruction all the time because of rebellion against God's law. But if you remember back there in John 1, John doesn't even talk about that. He doesn't even talk about this rebellion. The correspondence course, lesson 26, it says God didn't inspire John to talk about that rebellion in John 1 and verse 1 because God now had a better plan. God had decided if he couldn't get the angels to do that job of going out and beautifying the earth and the universe, that he would recreate himself in man and make a family. See, God created family. He wants his way of life. He wants that joy, that unity, that harmony, that teamwork to spread. He wants to share it with other people, ultimately God beings. He wants to share it with others and build this family, create this family. And that's why you exist. That's why I exist, because that's God's plan. The quote says, "This was a plan that mankind alone could be part of, to actually be in the God family. It was not offered to Lucifer and the angels. Men now are invited into the family of God." So just stop and think about that for a moment. God isn't just offering us eternal life. He is offering you eternal life in a loving family. And what good would eternity be if you didn't have others to share it with? What good would all the power and all the possessions in the universe be if you were by yourself? What good would that be? That sounds pretty terrible, actually. It sounds pretty lonely. Living is a wonderful thing, But if we live alone and we don't have anybody to share it with, that's a pretty sad existence. God and the Word want to share their family. They want to build it. They want to make it bigger and include many more people in that family. See, eternity would be no good if it was just by ourselves. Now, loneliness is a terrible thing. Some statistics say about half of all Americans are lonely. And if you think about, well, what really cures loneliness? Family does. Family cures loneliness. We have others to share things with. Now, of course, it must be a family that obeys God's laws. Unfortunately, there are instances where people live together, but in rebellion against God, and so that ends up being a really bad situation. But God's creating a family that obeys His laws, and there's no loneliness there. There's just joy and peace and teamwork and happiness and excitement and other beings to share that with. Being by yourself is pretty lonely, but God's creating a family. So no one has to be lonely. They can be part of that family. God and the Word wanted a family, and they wanted to expand their way of life to many more God beings. And that is why God created mankind and He created family. The Correspondence Course, Lesson 26, says, "The angelic rebellion showed God that the angels could not be trusted to rule the universe. It would take created sons who had the very character of God. So God planned to recreate Himself through man, His ultimate creation." You are God's ultimate creation. It's not just the physical form, obviously, but it's the character that God is building in those that He's called today. And ultimately, everyone will have a chance to build that character. God will build that in them, give them that opportunity to submit to Him, and then God will build that character. It says we each individually must become perfect as our Father is perfect. That's Matthew 5 and verse 48. Otherwise, we will not be born into God's family. We will fail, as one-third of the angels did. See, God doesn't want a family of rebellion, of course. I would destroy it. He wants a family of obedience to His laws, because that's the way that works and brings happiness. John 1, verses 10 through 12, talking about Jesus Christ when He came to this earth, it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not." You can read all about, you know, Christ's life in the Gospels. And you see that a lot of people, you know, rejected Him, didn't know Him, didn't receive Him. But some did. Some were called and accepted that. Verse 12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." See, family. "Even to them that believe on His name." Now, of course, they had to believe who He was, who He said He was, but they also had to do what He said to do. Lesson 26 says, "Power in the Greek actually means right as well as power." Two phenomenal words. We have the right, a birthright, to be born into the family of God, not because we earned it, but because God gives it as a gift. However, that of itself is not enough. God says we must also have power to be born into His family. We cannot do it humanly. It takes God's power to overcome and grow. Right and might. We have the honorable right to be born into God's family, and we also have the power to take advantage of that right. This birthright is far beyond anything God had in mind for the angelic plan. It is the greatest plan God will ever have, recreating Himself. See, when we think about family, we have to think of it in these terms. This is the greatest plan God's ever had. Recreating Himself in man and building a family. Building a family. John 1 and verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh," He was born as Jesus Christ, "and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Correspondence Course, it says, "The Word made flesh was the only begotten Son of the Father. The Word, also God, came to earth and was born of a woman. God risked the life of His only begotten Son so that he could expand his family. They took a chance. They took a big chance. Now, they obviously planned it out and knew that the odds were very good, but still, it was quite a chance there. If Christ had sinned even one time, the family plan would have been over. But he used the power of his father, and he lived perfectly. Had his son sinned, the quote says, he would have died for all eternity. But Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. Christ set the example for all mankind. He introduced the God family, showing how God was going to expand that family by bringing billions of human beings into it. See, we need to really stop and think about these things, and if we're going to really understand the depth of this, and if we're going to appreciate it as we should. You know, there are moments in life that are lonely at times, and those can be hard. Now, hopefully they don't last too long, but still, even in that, I think, if we're thinking about this plan, we learn how valuable family is. And we learn about what a risk the father took. He could have been alone for all eternity. He took that risk because he wanted the family to expand. Introduce the God family to us, showing how God was going to expand that family by bringing billions of human beings into it. God wants us in his family. The quote continues, he came to this earth to open it up. He came to this earth to open up the family of God to man, to invite man into his family. This was radically different to anything he ever did with the angels. But this was now the ultimate and supreme plan of God, a plan that not even God could exceed in greatness. The plan of recreating himself. I mean, what a plan that is. What a chance they took. And how valuable that is, and how wonderful it is to be part of a family. Yes, physically, but ultimately, this spiritual family, this is an eternal family. And that is a family God wants you to be part of, and he wants me to be part of. He wants all of mankind, ultimately, to be part of that family. It's an amazing plan, and we need to stop and think about it and consider it, and be thankful for it. If you'd like to learn more about this, please sign up for the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, as well as the free book, Mystery of the Ages. You can order that at thetrumpet.com. It's all free, and it's provided as an educational service. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thank you for spending some of your time with me today. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.